Dr. Goldsworthy, you've written a series of papers on low-intensity biological effects from EMF, and you talk a lot about calcium efflux and the damage that can lead to. Can you please explain what it is all about?
Yes. Well, I'll start by saying something about something which seems totally different, and that is the biological effects of physically conditioned water. Now, you've probably come across adverts saying, attach this device to your water main and you will not have any limescale problems again. Most of these devices work, and they work by sending a low frequency, very weak electrical signal into the water supply as it goes towards your tap. And it will prevent scale forming, and we will also remove scale from your plumbing that's already there. Now this stuff has got biological effects which are very similar to those of electromagnetic radiation. So if you try to grow yeast in this water, it's different. It can either grow faster or grow slower depending on how long the water has been treated.
So you can change the proliferation, the cell proliferation rate of yeast.
Yeah, and it also works for higher plants. You can do the same thing with higher plant seedlings. And this is completely non-thermal.
It's very weak.
Very, very weak. There's no heating effect on the water at all. And obviously, there is no effect on the yeast because the water goes onto the yeast without any temperature change at all. So the yeast isn't being affected by temperature, it's being affected by the water. And what made me think about this was that the conditioning process makes the water remove calcium ions from surfaces.
Like cells, for example.
Like cells, you got it in one. And there's a lot of old research work done in the 1970s by Blackman and Borwin and company, which shows that weak electromagnetic radiation releases calcium from the surfaces of membranes. So what, you say? Well, that calcium helps to hold together the membranes, because the membranes are made up of negatively charged molecules called phospholipids, and they try to repel one another, but if you've got a calcium ion sitting in between, they are attracted to one another, so the calcium stabilizes the membrane.
So you've got a self-stabilizing mesh.
That's right. Take the calcium away, the membrane becomes weaker and more inclined to tear and develop holes, pores.
A teabag effect.
Yeah, just like a teabag. And this can have a whole variety of effects on metabolism. By letting free calcium in, it can stimulate metabolism. And if it lets in other materials, say toxins or carcinogens, it can damage the cells. And what we found was that weakly conditioned water stimulated the growth of yeast. Conditioned water that had been conditioned for a long time inhibited it and appeared to be toxic. So what we're getting to now is a little bit of radiation helps. A lot of radiation, like from a mobile phone mast, is damaging. So where do we go from here? It could be, and very likely, that the membranes of lysosomes are also damaged by the radiation.
Lysosomes are
now, lysosomes,
the cell, right?
Yeah, they're little structures in the cell which are normally used for recycling waste. They're full of digestive enzymes. And if these are damaged by the electromagnetic radiation removing calcium from them, they let out their enzymes.
Into the cell.
Into the cell. And this explains the damage to DNA, which has been reported in lots of experiments now, and nobody has been able to explain it, because the radiation is far too weak to damage a stable molecule like DNA. But if it releases enzymes by like putting the cat among the pigeons, then the DNA is damaged by the cell's own enzymes.
So we're looking for a catalyst instead of a direct effect.
That's right, yeah. It's a catalyst, and prolonged exposure, as you might get from a mast, seems to be worse than a short exposure than you might get from a cell phone.
Is that because the cell can reconstruct in the time between the radiation?
Yes. Our cells are designed to cope with a certain amount of electromagnetic radiation.
Because it's natural.
It's natural. It occurs whenever you get a thunderstorm. You get wideband radiation from the lightning flashes, which you can hear on a radio set. And cells have evolved from billions of years, literally, to cope with this. But it's only for a short time, the length of a thunderstorm. So
the length of every flash.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So our bodies have learned to cope, to some degree, with intermittent exposure, but long exposure, as you get from a mobile phone mast, which is operating 24/7, seems to overload the system and causes no end of problems, like upsetting the circadian rhythms, which are the natural rhythms of your body. So every 24 hours you go through a sleep-wake cycle. And it's not just sleeping and waking, it affects your whole enzyme structure. Your body is geared during the day for physical activity, it's geared during the night for immune function. And what seems to happen is that the radiation weakens this cycle, so that you're not as good during the day, you're tired during the day, and your immune system doesn't work as well during the night. So it's a double whammy.
So it's a self-enhancing detrimental effect.
Yeah, and people don't recognise this. I mean, the people in power don't want to recognise it.
Obviously, getting lots and lots of money. Isn't it kind of a parallel to what happened with tobacco, really?
Oh, yes. Tobacco and asbestos. It takes decades for the dangers to become apparent. You have to wait for a catastrophe, literally.
Count bodies.
Yeah, count bodies. And there is already more evidence for the damaging effects of radiation than there is for tobacco. There's visible damage to DNA. There's increase in allergies, which are especially present in electrosensitive individuals, which seems to be related to this, because weakening the cell membranes also makes materials like toxins and carcinogens and allergens enter your body much more easily. The cells on the surface of your body are joined together, rather like the blood-brain barrier. The gaps between them are sealed so that materials can only enter through the cells themselves. So allergens are normally kept out. But if they are damaged by radiation, allergens can get in, and you become allergic, have multiple chemical sensitivities, you name it, that happens.
And that's what calcium efflux is a perfect explanation for.
Yeah, it explains virtually all of the symptoms of electrosensitivity and the detrimental effects of radiation on health, on cancer, on allergens, It's all explained by just this one simple thing that was discovered 30 years ago.
It's been replicated and replicated.
Yes, yes.
Well established.
Yes, it's been replicated several times. Doesn't work all the time, but you don't expect that with biological systems.
You've got different cell lines.
Different cell lines, different degrees of ability to repair damage and so on. So you don't expect perfect replication, but it happens frequently enough to make me at least completely certain that the effect is real.
Well, what I'm convinced of is that this is we're looking at a layer cake of effects happening. But I noticed that yesterday Henry Lai spoke about production of free radicals as a byproduct of radiation exposure.
Yes, well, that again could be a catalytic effect, because if you get damage to mitochondria, then they are the powerhouses of the cell, and they are oxidizing the food we eat, essentially, and in the process generate free radicals. Normally this works perfectly, but if the cell membrane, if the membranes of the mitochondria are damaged, then the respiratory pathways will also be damaged and release some of these free radicals, and that could also damage DNA. See, I think the message to get across is that there is more than one mechanism by which radiation can damage cells, and those in power keep saying there is no known mechanism. Well, that's not true. There are dozens. I've just outlined one or two, but there are more, like the direct effects on DNA, which initiate the production of heat shock proteins, which are actually a defense mechanism to protect the DNA of the cell from the damaging effects of the lysosome enzymes. What they do is they make a sort of cocoon which keeps the cell proteins safe inside. That's a nice, simple way of putting it. And they are made specially to order whenever cells are damaged, either by heat, hence their name, or by radiation that is so small that it doesn't generate heat. So the cells know when they're being irradiated, even at very, very low levels, and
it's
can respond.
It's a recognition mechanism.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Which probably is intended to detect the radiation from lightning flashes. And cells have evolved for countless millions of years to do that. And now they're being called upon to do it continuously. Now that is the problem. They are constantly diverting their metabolic resources from doing what they ought to be doing to protecting the cell from the damage of the radiation. And that puts an extra strain on metabolism. There is no hidden reserve of energy and resources. What is used to make the heat shock proteins and other responses can't be used for anything else.
So when the energy is spent, it's spent.
It's spent, it's spent, yes.
Like money, there's no credit.
Yeah, and this is where the day-night regime comes in as well. Because in order to conserve resources, our bodies are constantly switching from day metabolism to night metabolism by resynthesizing a whole lot of their enzyme for day and night, regularly on a 24-hour cycle.
So you need to rest physically in order to conserve energy for the immune system to repair.
Yes, the immune system is programmed to work at night. And our physical activity is programmed to run during the day. And the body's set up to do this. It physically alters the concentration of enzymes to do the two different processes, day and night. And actually, this would continue even if you were put into continuous darkness or continuous light. You get a circadian rhythm, which it isn't exactly 24 hours, but it's regular, about 24 hours. So by disturbing that rhythm, you're also disturbing the natural process by which you switch from immune function to physical function. And that becomes most obvious when you look at melatonin, which is a sort of sleep hormone.
But it's a super powerful antioxidant, isn't it?
It is as well. But it also controls the sleep-wake cycle. And
it's released also, for the pineal gland, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's produced in the brain and can regulate the actual rate of the different aspects of metabolism in the rest of the body. So it's a sort of master clock, if you like. It's a signal coming out from the brain that tells the rest of your body what it should be doing. And it happens roughly every 24 hours, even if you're under constant conditions. But during normal day and night, it's regulated to the light-dark cycle. So to disturb that rhythm is a bit like having the light on all night. It gives you jet lag.
Have you seen the recent research coming out that suggests that melatonin secretion is severely impaired from mobile phone mast radiation? A recent recent German study done by medical doctors.
I don't think I've actually seen that. I need a medical doctor myself. I've got a cough. But it's not new, certainly, that the there are effects on melatonin production. And the more people who actually show this, the happier I will be. It didn't come from me. I've been reading the papers about all of this, and what I've been trying to do is to put together the little bits of information from lots of other papers, all peer-reviewed, all in scientific journals, so the actual material I've been using is, well, I won't say beyond question, but it's as good as you can get.
Well established.
And all I have done is put together the little pieces of information, like putting together the pieces of a jigsaw, so that you see the final product. And that is the picture that I have given you.
Okay? Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Andrew Goldsworthy, here at the Radiation Research Trust Conference. Thank you.
All right.